My name is Anita Bennett, and I'm on the steering committee of Save the Baltic Wharf Trees. And I'm also one of the 70 tree brides who married 70 trees on the Baltic Wharf Harborside, which is a publicly owned caravan site leased out to the Caravan Club by the Council of Bristol. The Baltic Wharf is the only green space on the harbour side. It's down at the less built-up end, down by Underfall Yard, next to the Cottage Inn pub.
And so is this the sort of Hotwell's end?
Yes, it's the Hotwell's end, but it's on the other side. Right. And it's almost
because this is quite an important area, isn't it? It's with the view of the suspension bridge. It's not far from there.
No, it's got a lovely view of the suspension bridge. Yes, it does.
Yeah, so hence, the property values around there, I'm afraid, are very, very high.
Sadly, the majority Green Planning Committee a week ago Monday voted to allow Hills Construction and Gorham Homes to build, in essence, high-rise flats on our only green space on the harbour side, high-rise flats for Londoners. They tricked everybody into getting the planning permission by promising social and affordable housing. And then they and Gorham Homes turned around and pleaded poverty and said, oh, we can't afford social and affordable homes. But the planning permission stayed because only one green council, that was Guy Pulteney, fought against it and pointed out that the value of the land on the open market is in the area of about 8 to 10 million at least. It turns over £1 million profit for the city, as it is with the caravan site, which has been there for 40 years. And they're in essence giving it away to Gorham Homes and Hills developers for £1.3 million, because this is a very clever planning trick that seems to be happening all over the city and elsewhere. They apply for social and affordable and then plead poverty, and then they still get to get their planning permission and build expensive flats for Londoners. So we are protesting this on Monday at 1 o'clock down by the harbour side. And we're going to be calling it a tree funeral. Some of the tree brides will be there. Lots of members of the caravan and motorhome club, which I belong to, because I camp down there sometimes, because people are really outraged. The council sold the CAMC, the Caravan and Motorhome Club. They sold. This was under our darling mayor, Marvin Rees, Lord Mayor Rees now. They sold the caravan club a site, the police dog training site, over by Bower Ashton, which is, and they promised them planning permission. So when our club bought the thing, I don't know for how much money, and applied for planning permission, the council turned around and turned it down. Our club then appealed it to the Secretary of State and lost. Because why? Because it's in a high-risk flood zone. And we in the Baltic Wharf, Save the Baltic Wharf Trees, had been counting on the Environment Agency to stand by its objection to any building on Baltic Wharf because it is in the highest Zone 3 risk for flooding. As was the caravan site. So the club lost loads and loads of money. But somehow, very mysteriously, worth looking into, Tony, is the fact that about 6 months before April 24, when under Richard Eddy and the Planning Committee, Development Committee A, we'd counted on the Environment Agency to object to this as a high-risk flood zone. But suddenly, they did an about-face, a bolt-face, and they said, oh, we think we can allow this now because the developers, quote-unquote, say that they are going to contribute to flood defenses. Well, the developers are actually our taxpayers' money-funded Gorham Homes, plus their really profit-making partners, Hills Construction. So that was very odd because the woman who led the decision, she was head of West 6 section of the Environment Agency, when that decision was rammed through the council, through the Development Committee A. And then guess what? A few months later, she turns up, guess where? Working for the bad guys, Wessex Water, who own YTL, who are planning to build all those high-rise flats. So Baltic Wharf is really the tip of the iceberg. It means that if we allow this to go through, because Marvin very cleverly carved, he removed Baltic Wharf from the harbourside consultation and just focused on the rest of it. And so anyway, the site is due to shut. The last day is Monday, the 11th. And then the developers can do what they want to. And we're afraid that the first thing they will do, as many nasty developers do, is to concrete it down and cut down the trees. So we are hoping that by bringing public pressure to bear on this, that we can highlight this as a national historic crime of giveaway of public land. They're giving it away for like 1/10 of the value on the open market. Now, we also know that when we attended and spoke at the Harbour Committee, I proposed on behalf of our committee that Baltic Wharf be converted into a memorial park for the unknown African slave and a disabled adult's play park. And I got some support from the Harbour Committee, although not from the planning committee, somehow mysteriously also switched over to Committee B, where there are a lot of young, very inexperienced and rather ignorant green councillors. So we're hoping that by launching our petition, which is going live today, which is calling for a public memorial park for the unknown African slaves, and also a disabled adults play park, that we can bring national public pressure to bear to get the council to stop in its tracks, look at what it's doing, and consider the kind of legacy that they're leaving for the future.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a bit of a David and Goliath kind of battle, because what with the housing developers in bed with the council. But the extraordinary thing about this, Anita, is that, you know, you've got Gorham Homes here who are part of the council, and yet they've got planning permission for one thing, and the council themselves, it seems, through Gorham Homes, are saying, oh, well, sorry, we can't do affordable housing anymore.
Well, this is not the only place that Gorham Homes have pulled this trick. I was told by a really well-known and reputable estate agent that they did the same thing over in Locklees, where the Gorham Homes together with Hills applied for affordable homes, and then they turned around and said they couldn't afford it. I haven't had time to research it. We haven't had time to research it. I think this is happening nationally.
Are people now have people been leaving? Are they being evicted on Monday?
Yes. Well, they're not evicted because the caravan site is not the most militant. The caravan club, we're not the most militant. And we rather meekly go along with every extension of the lease. And then we swallowed the bait of buying that site over in the police dog training center. But we will be members will be bringing it up to the AGM of the caravan club in October. And we have a lot of support on the Facebook page for the Caravan and Motorhead Club because, you know, okay, we're a lot of older people. I have a really small older caravan. A lot of people have bigger ones. But we really love this site, and we've been coming here for a long time, for 40 years, and it produces a lot of income for the city. So it doesn't make financial sense to give it away for flats for Londoners, which in essence is what the council has done. The only person who really grilled Don Alexander, who should never have chaired that planning committee because he had a conflict of interest. He'd been a director of Gorham Homes, hadn't he? Anyway, Guy Pulteney really, really went to town, and he said, you know, this is not viable, but he didn't win, and he didn't even win over his fellow and sister councillors, who I am appalled by their ignorance. I think the party line of the Greens is, oh, we need more housing no matter what. These kids are not being taught to think for themselves. They're not looking at the evidence, and it's a very sorry state. We're seeing now the true colors of the Greens, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, it does sound extraordinary to have an environmental-based party running the city, or at least
Can I
the
just
largest
interrupt you?
party.
I can't. Can I just interrupt you? I'm not totally convinced that it's an environmentally based party. They have actually expelled in Bristol. They expelled one of the leading and older environmentalists. That was my friend and my local councillor, Councillor Jude English, who was a scientist, who was a leading environmentalist. She was suspended. She was suspended from the Green Party 2 weeks before the recent elections. Why? For her alleged, quote, transphobia, unquote. Now, does that kind of belief system, does that trump really serious, life-threatening issues like the destruction of this planet? And this has happened all over the country with the Green Party. So that's, I don't really consider them an environmental party. They might be on the bikes and on the livable neighborhoods and all the rest of it, but when it push comes to shove, what I'm seeing is that their ideological beliefs about trans rights certainly trump any concerns about our city and the protection of our environment. And I say, obviously, there are really good green councillors and there are others that aren't so good. And actually, it's not even party political. You just get some intelligent people in all the parties, frankly.
So it does sound as if then the planning system is supposed to be zonal. In other words, certain it should be impossible in the planning system to completely change the use of something. But this sounds like it's the most extraordinary change of use from something which is a caravan site to big tower blocks, and also a green wooded area to something which is no longer green and wooded and flattened. It's going to completely surely change that part of the city and
Totally.
that look of the
Totally.
part, that part of the harbour.
Yeah. It's the Trojan horse for the rest of the harbor. That's why the stakes are so high in this. And that's why we have been working probably now for 4 years to try to save those trees. We started off as Save the M32 Maples. We lasted for 2 solid years before they took the last maple down. But a lot of us, because we're in the same central part of Bristol. We moved over to the Baltic Wharf trees because we thought that was the next point of conflict. And we've been helped enormously by the Bristol Tree Forum, who worked tirelessly. Honestly, if they could be running the city, we would have a different city.
They are
And
brilliant, I must admit. They seem to be one of the only independent environmental groups in the city. But anyway, how do people find and follow you? And most importantly, Anita, find you on Monday?
so they can find us on Facebook, which is Save the Baltic Wharf Trees. That's one. They can also find me on Facebook and PM privately message me. And if you can come with your banners dressed, we're asking people to dress in black because we're calling it a tree funeral. Come at 1 o'clock by the Cottage Inn pub and the caravan site in front there, right by the water. By the waterfront. Please come and join us there at 1 o'clock. And we certainly hope that the media will take some interest in this because this is an asset that is being blatantly given away illegally. It is not a brownfield site. It was only ever a timber yard built to build the big slave ships. That's why we want a memorial park to the unknown African slave and a disabled adults play park. So please come on Monday, 1 o'clock, and find us on Facebook, Save the Baltic Wharf Trees. Thanks a lot.
Well, you say illegal, but actually, of course, the planning decision makes it legal, doesn't it?
Do you mean the giving away of the land is legal?
Well, if they've got planning permission, which they now have, it's legal.
Well, they lied to get it because we did a petition 4 years ago, and it was, we got 5,000 signatures, a big debate in Marvin's council. That is not a brownfield site. It is a greenfield site. It was never, ever a brownfield site. It does not meet the National Planning Regulation definition, the NPPF definition of brownfield. They lied, they applied, and they said they got 1.5 million for brownfield. They just lied to each other. So it's an illegal decision. We would like very much to have a judicial review. As you know, that's extremely expensive. And the last time we tried a judicial review on the maple trees, the council threatened us with all the costs. So all we have is public opinion and mobilization and bodies on the line to try to save those trees and that site for the city and for posterity.
Okay, Anita Bennett, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.